Evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Welcome to Putnam Hill Baptist Church. We'll start off our hymn singing tonight with number 235. 235 in our hymn books, Lead Me to Calvary, 235.
Thank you.
Amen. For our last hymn this evening, number 495 in our hymn books, number 495, Count Your Blessings. We have so many to count.
Amen.
The devil specializes in getting us to look at what we think we don't have and not get all we do have. 495, Count Your Blessings. Thank you.
That's pretty good. Now, if we could just get them to sing, I don't think that's ever going to happen. At least we hope not. But we do appreciate the Lovejoy fellas, and we appreciate their attitudes on wanting to serve the Lord. And I appreciate Brother Luke. He goes with. There's a lady that he goes to a few different churches with, and plays in different churches, and then. Also, the guy that's taught him everything, basically, that he knows, is he goes to his church and place as well, and has many opportunities to serve the Lord with his talent, and also Peyton as well. And I appreciate them using their talents for the Lord. All right. Well, I do appreciate you being here this evening. I hope that you've already been blessed for being in the house of the Lord. Just give you a little update about Miss Angel. We went to Brother Adam was there, and my wife and I. We went to. I see Miss Angel and Brother Allen, and she's doing much better today. Her pulse was at 72, I believe, somewhere in the mid-70s range, and she's feeling better, and she said, I want to get out of here. So you continue to pray for her, and she'll be meeting with some doctors and trying to figure out what's going on and what's causing her heart rate to go down, and then also the kidney failure. And so just continue to pray for her. I said we can give this all the glory goes to God. I mean, just in a day of prayer, we see what the Lord's able to do. And so we give him all the praise and the glory and the honor. And she said, oh, yes, I believe that is what happened there is a power of prayer. So thank you for your prayers and continue to pray for the Basor family. Again, I hope and pray that you've already been blessed for being in the house of the Lord today. Rejoicing in Ray getting baptized this morning, and just excited about what the Lord is doing here. I'm going to ask you to join me in the book of Mark this evening. Book of Mark, very familiar portion of Scripture. Mark chapter number 10, verse 17 is where we're going to be at this evening. Mark chapter number 10, verse 17. The Bible says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come and take up the cross and follow me. And he said, he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished at out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, thank you for what we've already heard tonight in song and in instruments. Lord, we just praise your holy name for what you are doing and what you're going to do tonight. Lord, we ask for your presence to be in our presence. Lord, we don't need to just go through the motions of having church or hearing another message, but Lord, we need to hear from you. And God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that Holy Spirit of God would illuminate our minds, and Lord, that you would do a work that only you can get the praise and the credit and the glory for. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know this story. The rich young ruler came to the Lord and asked him what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And of course, Jesus, knowing his heart, he told him, he says, well, you need to observe the Ten Commandments. And this man said that he had observed this all his life. And I looked up that word observe because I thought, what does that mean? Well, what it means is that he tried to obey it. Not that he'd done exactly what he should have, but he tried to obey it. But he didn't really want to admit that he was a lost sinner and in need of a Savior. So Jesus told him to go and sell all that he has and give to the poor and follow the Lord. Well, the man went away sad because he had great riches, the Bible says, and because I believe because he doubted the Lord. He doubted the Lord's ability. He doubted the word of the Lord. Then Jesus tells his disciples of the impossibility of a rich man to enter into heaven. This baffled the minds of the disciples. They said, well, then who can be saved? Who can inherit the kingdom of God? How is it possible? They began to question themselves. They began to doubt God's word themselves. And he said this. He said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Now, I want you to maybe turn back with you, if you don't mind, to Genesis chapter number 18. I want to lay a foundation here, and then we'll get into the message. Genesis chapter number 18, verse 10, another familiar portion of Scripture. The Bible says in verse 10 of chapter number 18, it says, And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Again, we know the story, what's going on here. God made a promise to Abraham that he was going to make Abraham a mighty nation, to make a mighty nation out of Abraham, the father of many nations, and this is what is known as the Abrahamic covenant. And in Genesis 17:4 says, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Well, as we all know the story, Abraham and Sarah was a little bit past the age of bearing children. They were well stricken in age, the Bible says there. But you know, the thing of it is that I noticed from this story, I was studying it out, the first thing that I noticed about this story is that Sarah laughed. She doubted God's word. And I began thinking about that, but it got my, I was searching that out, and it got me to think about in previous chapter, in Genesis chapter number 17, verse 15, the Bible says this, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Did you catch that? And he said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" You see, men, we're the leaders. And you'll notice this, that as we do as leaders, our wives are going to do as well, and our families are going to follow. That's another message probably here in a couple of weeks for Father's Day. But they both doubted God. They doubted His Word. They doubted His abilities. They doubted the power of God. Can you imagine, though? Let's before we get too hypercritical of Abraham and Sarah here, it would be like Brother Ed's going to be 88 years old this year. Okay? And Miss Betty's quite a few years younger than him. But anyways, it's like someone saying that they were going to have a child. Yeah, amen, Brother Ed. There you go. We would probably all laugh, and we'd probably all doubt that word, wouldn't we? We'd all be saying, "Come on, you got to be kidding me, right?" You see, physically, this was impossible. But what they forgot was, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then I want you to turn back one other portion of Scripture here. Mark chapter number 5, verse 38. Mark chapter 5, verse 38. The Bible says this, And he cometh to the house of the rulers of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why makest ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. Again, we know the story. There's a little girl here, 12 years old. And Jesus comes, and everybody sees that she's dead. And Jesus goes in, of course, the great physician that he is. He goes in and says, "She's not dead, but she sleeps. She's asleep." Jesus goes into the house and says that, and they all doubted him. They all laughed at him. The Bible says they laughed him to scorn. They were basically, what they were doing was making fun of his word. They were doubting him. Can you imagine, again, another impossibility for man? I thank the Lord for good doctors and nurses and medical professionals, but can I tell you, they are not the great physicians. He's the great physician, and He's the one that's able. But again, can you imagine an impossible task for man to fix this great need? But with God, all things are possible. These three stories of impossibilities, you would think, a rich man giving all that he has and gives all that he has to the poor to inherit kingdom of heaven. And then a 90-year-old woman that gives birth to a child, or a person that was dead coming back to life, we would all probably, this day and time, we would probably all be guilty of doing the same thing and doubting God. Doubting the ability, His power. But we're not talking about just another man saying this. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great Creator of the world, the great I Am. He's the one, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He's the one that made this possible. You see, with men, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Of course, He can do it. If we all would just truly realize that it is God, that He is God, and He would not, that we would not doubt His ability. We would not doubt that what He says He will do, He will do. Folks, we need to get that in our minds. If God says it, Dad used to always say this, you can take it to the bank, or you can write it in your Bible. That means that's an assurity. That's going to happen. That's what my dad's words to me was. Can I tell you, whenever we think of God, if He says something, you might as well count on it happening. And I've read the Bible through, and I know what's going to happen. And can I tell you that we as children of God, that we as born-again believers, we're going to a place called heaven. I don't say that based on anything, on my abilities. I say that based totally on the Word of God. And because of His Word, listen to me, it's as if we are already there. That's how assured of heaven I am. I have heaven as my home. I have salvation. But see, we tend to be hypercritical and think these people have little faith. These people just don't realize the power of the Savior. Can I say, we don't realize it either. We sit back and maybe criticize Abraham and Sarah for not trusting God or doubting that He was able to do what He said He was able to do. We scoff at those who laughed at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when He said that the little girl was just sleeping. But we do the same every day. We doubt God. We doubt Him in other areas of our lives. Maybe it's not as serious as death, but maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it's a physical issue. I don't know what the issue is today, but can I tell you, we doubt God? I want to share with you tonight five thoughts tonight. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. Number one, don't doubt God when He says He's our priest. See, Hebrews 4:14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our professions." Romans 8:34 says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." The Lord Jesus told us that He's our great high priest. He makes intercession for us. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So many times we doubt God because we don't believe what He says He will do. See, we don't think He will answer our prayers. We doubt Him, so we don't get our prayers answered. The Bible says this in Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." We doubt Him so we don't get our prayers answered, but also we doubt Him so we just don't even ask. We just doubt Him so we don't. The Bible says this in James 4:2. It says, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." What is the matter with us today? I mean, the Bible says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." See, the Lord is said that He will hear our prayers. He's our great priest. You know, I'm thankful that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that day when He died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil was rent from in twain from top to bottom. We no longer have to go to someone else and pray. We can come boldly to the throne of God. We can come boldly to our great high priest who makes intercession for us. Aren't you thankful for that today? We don't have to go to another man. We can go straight to the great high priest Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the thing of it is that He desires to hear from you today. And I say, when we refuse to pray, we are doubting God. We're doubting God. When we try to take it in our own strength and try to accomplish things in our own abilities, can I tell you what we are doing? We are doubting God's abilities. Can I say, you can't, but He can? Don't doubt God when He says He's our high priest. But then don't doubt God when He says He's our power. But Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You see, we have the power to accomplish so much for the cause of Christ. We just don't tap into it. D.L. Moody said this. Now think about this. D.L. Moody, the great D.L. Moody said this. The world has yet to see what could be accomplished by one person who was totally committed to Christ. You realize this? The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, we can have a pleasing walk through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can walk pleasing to Him, not in my abilities. Can I tell you, the first thing we need to realize is this, that we can't, but through Him we can. Now get a hold of that phrase there. We can't, but through Him we can. You see, the Bible says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. The Bible tells us here that we can have a pleasing walk. And can I tell you, the only way that we can be pleasing in our walk for Christ is through His power. You can't do it on your own, folks. I've tried to, I don't know how to convey this any closer. I've tried to do things so many times. I've tried to walk the walk on my own, in my own abilities, in my own power. But can I tell you, I fail miserably every time, and so will you. We need His power to help us through. Can I tell you, I am nothing on my own. I want to admit this tonight. I'm wretched. I'm vile. I'm a wicked sinner. Just like every person that's ever been born. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person in this room, we're all sinners. You know the thing that makes me separate from the other sinners out there is I'm a sinner saved by grace. Through His wonderful grace. That's the only difference. We can not only have a pleasing walk, but we can have a perpetual work through Christ with strength of me. You know, I see a lot of folks quitting. A lot of folks getting out. Getting out of church, getting out of service for the Lord. Why? Because they're doing it within their own power. Because they're looking to their own strength. Because they're looking, whatever the case may be, circumstances surround them. But the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can I just tell you that the only way that you're going to be steadfast and unmovable, the only way that you're ever going to accomplish this is through His power, through His grace? We can't, but we can through Him. So we can have a perpetual work, we can have a pleasing walk, but also we can have a personal witness through Christ which strengthens us. I know there's many people in here that are of the nature that they're just not really maybe outgoing or real boisterous, if you will, about their salvation and telling other people about the Lord. But can I tell you this? You can have power to witness. You know what? I've noticed I had some friends that were just, man, you talk to, I mean, they're just bashful, they're quiet, but you talk to them about the things of the Lord and they'll talk your head off. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you're born again, if you're saved, God has put the Holy Spirit inside of you. And folks, I know it's at first it might be, you might be a little bit nervous to talk about your faith or talk to someone about the Lord, but can I tell you, when you trust in His ability and you trust in His strength and His power, listen to me, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. You can go to a person and talk to them. Don't doubt God when He says He's our high priest. Don't doubt God when He says He's our power. Then thirdly, don't doubt God when He says He's our protection. God was Daniel's protection there in the lion's den. Who caused those lions to all of a sudden have locked jaw? I mean, who caused that to happen? God did that. It wasn't, listen very carefully, it wasn't in Daniel's ability, it wasn't in Daniel's wisdom, it wasn't in anything that Daniel could do. Daniel's confidence was not in his own ability, but he was completely confident in the protection of the Almighty. Think about that. Folks, it's not you. We can do all kinds of things, and I think we ought to protect ourselves, but can I tell you? He's our protection. God was not only Daniel's protection, but think about this. God was David's protection against Goliath. Notice what David says. David said here in 1 Samuel 17, he says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thee thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Did you notice what David said here? That very first line, he says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." He never said that he was going to do it himself. You see, you say, well, David was able to do it. Man, David was good at that slingshot. Who gave David the ability to do that? Who gave David the courage to accomplish that impossible feat? Folks, what I'm trying to get to you this morning is, or this evening, is the fact that we can't, but He can. And we can through Him. He's our protection. David was not trusting in his ability, but he was confident in the Almighty once again. Again, one of my favorite children's stories, when I love to teach on the three Hebrew boys. I think they were a fine example of young people. And these three Hebrew boys there in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden images which thou hast set up." The three Hebrew boys never, not once, did they trust in their abilities and their outsmarting the king. They never trusted in anything but God. What are we trusting in this evening as our protection? See, I'm persuaded that Daniel and David and the three Hebrew boys and many others, if you study it out, somehow knew this verse. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. I just believe that if we would just get a hold of that verse right there. With men it's impossible. Folks, no matter what you're facing today, no matter what situation, no matter what sickness, it doesn't matter. With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Get a hold of that verse tonight. We tend to think God has left us because we are going through some trial or some trouble. God hasn't left us. Our faith has left us. We cry and worry about things that we have no control over. God wants to test our faith sometimes to reveal where our shortcomings are. You see, God is in control, but we doubt Him and we forget that He is our protection. Don't doubt God when He says that He's our priest. Don't doubt God when He says He's our power. Don't doubt Him when He says He's our protection. Then fourthly, don't doubt God when He says He's our provision. Folks, I know you work hard, you do all these things, but it's God that provides. It's not, you know, we go to work, we get a paycheck, but it's God that gives us the wisdom, gives us the strength, gives us those things. All praise, all of it belongs to Him. We do not deserve any pats on the back. He's our provision. Psalm 78, verse 19, it says, "Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes, absolutely, yes, He can. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Again, we confuse our needs and our wants. After visiting third world countries, I would say some of you could testify to this, that we are spoiled as a nation. We have been, I'm telling you, we have more than enough. We've been so blessed and spoiled as Americans. We could do with a lot less. I remember going to Mexico and seeing the poverty and the things there. I came home and I wanted to give away everything I had because I thought, man, we've got way too much. We don't need to. I remember my girls, they thought I was going through some kind of crazy spell or something. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to take them and let them see firsthand how blessed they are. Folks, you know what? And it's not because of how smart we are and how good we are. It's because of His provisions. His provisions. Tell me, has God ever let you down as far as your needs? No. God promised to take care of your needs, that is food and raiment. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. He didn't say with the big mansion house and with the newest car and with the best technology to be content. He said with food and raiment. Very simple. Very simple. Don't doubt God when He says He's our priest, He's our power, He's our protection, our provision. Finally, don't doubt Him when He says He's our propitiation. 1 John 2:2 says, and He is a propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Can I tell you, He has taken our place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. You see, He has paid your sin debt and for mine. When we try to obtain salvation through any other means than through the blood of Jesus Christ, hey, if we try to do it in our own abilities, in our own works, in anything, listen to me, again, with men, this is impossible. You cannot obtain salvation. You cannot do it within yourself. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, through His grace and His mercy. There's nothing we can do to merit or inherit, as the rich young ruler said. He says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Hey, there's nothing you can do. It's all that He has done. Eternal life is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are all, listen to me in closing, we are all guilty of doubting God from time to time. We're all guilty. See, the problem is here, there in Matthew chapter number 17, verse 20, it says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt His word. Folks, if He said it, it's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. Again, final verse in closing. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Folks, we need to trust the Lord. Don't doubt Him. Don't doubt the Lord tonight. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. As Miss Haley comes to prepare for our invitation, the altar is always open, whether it's in the middle of a service, the beginning of a service, at the end of the service. But I'm going to invite you to come as God has dealt with your heart. The Holy Spirit of God has dealt with you. Maybe you've been doubtful. You've doubted God in some area of your life. Maybe it's a physical, spiritual, emotional, social, I don't know what the need may be tonight, but maybe you've doubted God in some area of your life. Can I tell you, don't doubt God. Don't doubt him. Go to the Word of God and get your confidence, get your peace, get your contentment through his Word. I want you to find a place at the altar. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I don't even know for sure if I was to die today, I go to heaven. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that? Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Pastor, I'm saved, but my life's just not right. There's some things in my life that's just not right. Pastor, pray for me. Would you pray for me? I don't know how the Lord spoke to your heart this evening, but I'm just going to encourage you to be obedient. Just be obedient to whatever he has spoke to you about. Our Heavenly Father, again, once again, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, help us not to doubt the impossibilities that we see in this life. Lord, we have a tendency to doubt your abilities, doubt that you are God. And Lord, help us to trust, put all of our trust in you, not putting our confidence in man, but put our faith, our confidence solely in you. Lord, I pray that you would work as only you can in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you stand to your feet as God has spoke to your heart? I'm going to challenge you to come. Find a place at the altar. Don't doubt God. Trust and obey when there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. All right, thank you. You may be seated. I want to give you just a couple announcements. Again, continue to pray for the Bay Sores, but also, as you may have noticed, Miss Judith McGinnis hasn't been able to be here for the last few services. She's not been feeling well, and she's starting to feel a little bit better. You remember her in your prayers, if you would. I know her desires to be here, and so you just remember Miss Judith McGinnis as well as Miss Angel Basor. All right. Don't forget, this coming Saturday, 8:30, there's a softball game. Then June the 16th, 8:30, softball game. June 18th, make sure you mark your calendars for this. No PM service. It's Father's Day. I want you to spend time with your family that day. And then that's June the 22nd and 23rd is a teen activity. And see Brother Nathan, Miss Shauna for further details about that. All right, let's go ahead and have the men come forward. We'll take up this evening's tithes and offerings. Right, Brother Peyton, sir, would you please announce this?
Dearly Father, I thank you for this day you've given us. I thank you that we had another chance to come to your house and worship you. And I thank you for the message we heard tonight, Lord. I just pray that it helps to remember and rely on you more. And I pray for all those who aren't feeling well tonight and for those who are in the hospital. Just pray for your hand protection over them. And I pray that you listen to the giver of this offering. Just come and pray. Amen.
I'm going to ask Brother Danny, sir, would you close?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We ask that you bring us to put our faith and trust in you, no matter what. Lord, if we dismiss you, you go with us and bring us back to this one time. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome. This is my Aunt Mary. This is my dad's sister. She's got cancer. Doctors aren't giving her much time to live. And Dad's going to try to get down and talk to her and visit with her. But if you remember my Aunt Mary, Callum, or no, what's the last name?
Gibbons.
Yeah, remember her when you're first.
Well, Thank you.